Today we are celebrating the most auspicious day of Sri Nrisimha Chaturdashi, the anniversary of the appearance of Sri Nrisimhadevi, the lion man form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're celebrating this most auspicious day in a most inauspicious country, but actually the whole material world is inauspicious. So hearing about him makes it auspicious. Sri Jayadeva idam, Sri Jayadeva kave idam uditam udaram shrinu shubhadam, shrinu sukadam shubhadam bhavasaram. Keshava dhritta dasa vidharupa jayadeva keshava. All know this prayer, those who regularly sing it. Tavakara kamala varena kamadhutashuna. This is from the Dashavatara Stotram at the beginning of Sri Gita Govinda by Sri Jayadeva Goswami. So, Jayadeva, he summarizes these prayers by saying that this very magnanimous poetry, this is very merciful of Jayadeva to compose this for the sake of the people in the world, and that by hearing about the Supreme Lord in Keshava, Krishna, in his 10 forms, then one attains happiness and auspiciousness in the world of birth and death. The world of birth and death means there's no happiness and no auspiciousness. But by hearing about Krishna, there is happiness and auspiciousness. So we're today especially going to hear about, think about, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead who danced with the gopis, who sucked the breast of Mother Yashoda, who sucked the breast of Mother Kaushalya and of Mother Aditi, and who performed many wonderful pastimes in many inconceivable forms. We're going to especially remember him in this most inconceivable form of Nrisimha. We say most inconceivable. Well, inconceivable, there's no meaning to say most inconceivable. Because if you can't conceive of something, you can't conceive of it. But when we say inconceivable, well, we might just about be able to conceive of, maybe we can conceive of the Supreme Lord appearing as a boar, Varaharu, coming out of the nose of Lord Brahma, but lion man. Well, Hiranyakashipu, he couldn't conceive of it because he asked from Brahma the benediction that he be immortal, and Brahma said, forget it, I'm not immortal, I can't bless you with immortality. So Hiranyakashipu, he did it in a roundabout way. He asked for immortality, and he asked for invincibility in all kinds of different situations and from all different kinds of species of living beings, both mortal and immortal. So he didn't think that there could be Nrisimha. And for that matter, even Lakshmi, she didn't. So, Hiranyakashipu, he asked for various benedictions. I wrote them all down because I have a trouble with the memory. This rascal, Hiranyakashipu, he secured the benediction that he would not be killed inside any building nor outside any building. Pretty smart, huh? Well, where is that? That already covers everything. So he didn't ask for anything else. But nevertheless, he covered all his bases, as they say, in baseball. I don't know exactly what it means. You know what it means to play baseball in the Philippines? It's an American in this country. That means it's protected in all senses. So he asked that I will also not be killed in the day or the night, nor on the ground, not on the earth, nor in the sky, not by any human or by any animal, not by any demigod, demon, or snake, not by any weapon, not by any living being, or even by any non-living being. How could you be killed by a non-living being? Well, maybe it is conceivable that an elephant is on a ledge above you and it dies and falls off and kills you. It is conceivable, just above. Not by any being created by Brahma, nor by any living being not created by Brahma, because there are some living beings who are not created by Brahma, which means especially Vishnu and Shiva. Nor by Brahma himself. He asked Brahma, you don't kill me, ask. Nor by, specifically this is said, not by Vishnu or Shiva. Then I've heard it said, and there are more things written in the Nishina, but some say that you should not be killed within the 12 months of the year. So, Hiranyakashipu was very intelligent, but actually very stupid. A typical demon. Very intelligent in being stupid. Just like the demons in this part of the world are very intelligent in making oil refineries, but they're stupid because they don't think that actually the purpose of life is not to make oil refineries. And even by having all this money from the oil, we're not happy. And by making an oil-based civilization, the demons are very, very intelligently made an oil-based civilization. But it's chaos. No one's happy. So they're very intelligent in doing the wrong thing, which means they're stupid. So they're both intelligent and stupid. And which of the two factors is prominent? Stupidity. They appear to be very intelligent to people who are also stupid and who are impressed by the ability of other demons to unearth scientific laws and put their name on it as if they are the upholder of all these laws of the universe. And they're stupid. They see all the laws in the universe and they say there's no law in it. So Hiranyakashipu is a typical demon, in some ways very intelligent, but stupid because he missed the actual point. And he was very intelligent in securing benedictions by which he wouldn't be killed, but he failed to recognize that there's always someone more intelligent than him, always someone more powerful than him, and that is Vishnu. He confabulated that Vishnu was afraid of him, and that's why he wasn't coming out front. Sometimes people ask, well, how can the demons get away with everything? They can get away for a little time. Let them play out their fantasies. But the laws of nature will catch up with them. So Hiranyakashipu thought, well, I'm conquering the whole universe. No one's doing anything to me. So Vishnu, he must be afraid of me. just by chance he managed to kill my brother. That was a close call. Actually, my brother was much more powerful than him, but by some kind of trickery or something, Vishnu managed to kill him. But he knows that he can't get away with it twice. If he comes in front of me, then he'll have no chance. So he's afraid of me. So Hiranyakashipu wasn't afraid of Vishnu. He thought he could act independently and do whatever he likes. Like, which means that actually he was stupid, despite being so intelligent and powerful in other ways. So, he wasn't killed inside or outside. Nrisimhadev managed to kill him in a way that he was not killed inside or outside, but in the doorway or on the veranda, which is neither. You can't say if you're on a veranda that you're inside, and you're not really outside either. It's the in-between position. Not in the day or night, at dusk. You can't say dusk is daytime, you can't say it's nighttime either. It's the sandhya, it's called sandhya, it's the in-between point where it has some of the, yeah, just like a veranda has some of the characteristics of insideness and some of the characteristics of outsideness. So the dusk has some of the characteristics of daytime and some of the characteristics of nighttime. He wasn't killed, Hiranyakashipu was not killed on the ground or the sky, but on the lap of Lord Nrisimhadev. Not by a human or animal. Is Nrisimhadev a human? No. Is he an animal? No. Unimagined. Not by a demigod, demon or snake. Not by any weapon. Well, when the weapons mean swords and missiles, knives, staffs, bullets, arrows, but the nails of Lord Nrisimhadev are not a weapon. A weapon means something that is extraneous to one's own body, something that you hold or you discharge. Is killed by the nails, not by any living or non-living entity. So nails, they're like that, they're in between. Now, are they living? Not really. It's dead matter. Even modern science recognizes that. But at the same time, it has some characteristics of living, because nails grow. So they're not really living or non-living. Not by any living being created by Brahma, nor by one who is not created by Brahma. Vishwanathacharya Thakur comments in this regard that Nrisimhadev appeared as a lila avatar, not a guna avatar. So he's non-created. And also not by Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva. Well, here Nrisimhadev stretched it a little bit, because he is Vishnu. But he's not Vishnu as Vishnu is normally known. And even Lakshmi, he didn't recognize him. The husband, if there was some police investigation, they heard, the police are called, there's a murder case, Hiranyakashipu got murdered. The police are called in, and they said, well, prime suspect is Vishnu. So they call up, they see Lakshmi. He said, we heard your husband. He's suspected for a murder. And show a picture of him. Said, that's not my husband. He doesn't look like that. So Lakshmi, she didn't recognize him as Vishnu. Of course, he is Vishnu, but he's in disguise. So, he stretched that. She was afraid herself. Not by other, I'm afraid of him too. Even she was afraid. Generally, the wife isn't afraid of the husband if he's a decent husband. So this was all arranged by Lila Shakti, Krishna's internal potency, to increase for all the Adbhutaras, the feeling of amazement, which is the underlying feature of all the rasas. Amazement. So this Sunday, amazing. Yours Hiranyakashipu terrorizing the whole universe. Forget Bin Laden, he's a small fellow. Hiranyakashipu was the biggest terrorist of all time. I mean, even later on he came as Ravana, but he was more of a sense enjoyer, Ravana. He terrorized a bit and then he retired to Lanka and just had a good time in a demoniac way. So, his terrorism, they say, well, it started in the 20th century, but actually it started way, way back with Hiranyakashipu. Srila Prabhupada titles one of the chapters of Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. So, Hiranyakashipu was a great terrorist and he had subdued the whole universe and everyone was afraid of him. It seemed just like a completely hopeless situation. Everyone was traumatized. There's no way out. But all of a sudden, Nrisimhadeva appeared. And although Hiranyakashipu was certainly fierce and terrible, fearsome, but thousands and millions of times more fierce and terrible and fearsome was Nrisimhadeva. And all his concentration was completely on Nrisimha. Nrisimha's concentration was completely on Hiranyakashipu. At that time he wasn't thinking of Lakshmi or even not directly on Prahlad or anyone or anything. His whole concentration was completely on Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu's concentration was completely on Nrisimha. He didn't think of anything else. So he had achieved the perfection of intense concentration on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it was a very extremely intense where Nrisimhadeva is the Lord of the universe and Hiranyakashipu thought that he was the Lord of the universe, but neither of them thought of anything else but each other, which is the perfection. Actually, if you can intensely think of Krishna, never think of anyone else. Of course, Hiranyakashipu was doing it in the wrong way, but he was so fortunate to have Nrisimhadeva's attention completely on him. So this kind of intensity in relationship, Hiranyakashipu inspired that in Nrisimhadeva. It's not a recommended path. It's not recommended to cultivate remembrance of Nrisimhadeva in the way that Hiranyakashipu cultivated such remembrance. One should not cultivate it in a demoniac way. But even Narada praised demons like Hiranyakashipu that they get such intensity. But it's not the intensity of bhakti, where one completely offers oneself to Krishna, but it's the intensity of seeing Vishnu and knowing that he is the obstacle to my fulfilling all my sense gratification and therefore hatred of Krishna. So it's a completely different mode of bhakti and the mode of devotion. Now, when we think of Rishimha. We think of Hiranyakashipu. And we think of Prahlad. Such a great devotee that the Supreme Lord came just for his sake. I mean, there was a whole universe of the demigods getting tortured and all this and that. But particularly, Nrisimha Deva is praised as Prahlada Hlada Deva, which means Prahlad's name means great joy. So that name was given by Hiranyakashipu to his son, thinking that my son will be joyful joining me in being a big demon. But Prahlad was of a different nature altogether. So, Prahlad, his ahlad, his pleasure, was in remembering Krishna. So, Nrisimha is he who comes, or he who gives pleasure to one who is full of pleasure. So, one who's already full of pleasure, how can he get pleasure? But his pleasure is in Vishnu. So, on this day, we remember Prahlad and Nrisimha. People will not like to believe in Nrisimha. Those who are demons, they will say, this is not God. God should be nice. He should be good. Now, a lot of people in the Western world, especially, who are a little bit intelligent, it took them about 2,000 years for many people to understand that the Christian conception of God as being good, actually he's not so good, doesn't seem to be that good after all, because he sends everyone to hell forever, unless they believe in him, whatever that means. But most people, he sends them to hell forever. And this whole world is full of suffering, so how is God good? So after about 2,000 years in the Western world, people are just beginning to think, hey, that doesn't sound right. Okay, we don't believe in any God. The proof that there's no God is that the world is full of suffering. This is the total total ignorance about the nature of God. That they think God is our Father in heaven, and the duty of the Father is to make the children happy. So God should make me happy. And that's what everyone thinks, Christian, Hindu, Muslim. They pray, give us this day our daily bread. Vaishnava philosophy is patram pushpam phalam dayam, to feed Krishna. So give us bread, give us money, give us dhanam, janam, sundarim, give us whatever we want. So, there's no real bhakti. Just give me this, give me that. Can you imagine if the child, all they do throughout their life is to give me to their father, give me this, give me that, give me something else. Give me, 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 give me. Bhakti means the child wants to give something to the father. Patram Krishna, then Krishna says, you offer me, what are you going to give? What can you give him? He's got everything. So give him a flower. It's a token of love to offer some flower with love, if it's offered with love. So people in general, they have this idea that God is very... People who do believe in God, they think, well, God is very good. God is very nice. And they can't imagine that God would come in such a terrible, nasty form. But actually, only the demons see him as nasty, because he's nasty to them. Just like we might see a lion as being very dangerous and fearful. And certainly the lion is very dangerous and fearful to humans, generally. But the same, although if you bring up a lion from young age, they can be pets. Some people have, there are stories of, in the modern age, of people having pet lions.
Do they go to the shop with, like, people take their dog for a walk, so they take their lion for a walk? There are such stories. So, true stories. But generally the lion is very fearsome. But the cubs of the lion, they don't think the lion is fearsome. It's nice. Father and mother. And the father lion's a bit lazy, actually. Most of the women do the work. They're liberated women. They have to do all the work. They have to go to work in lion society. It's mostly the lioness who does the hunting and everything. And the lion just stays at home and looks at himself in the mirror and thinks, I look very nice. With this nice mane. So the cubs think, yeah, it's nice. Nice father and mother. They love me. And they do in their lion-like way and their animal. They have some love also. Some love. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of the love, the real love, the love for Krishna. But they feel some affection to their cubs, and the cubs feel affection to them. But to the non-devotee, it appears very terrible. Horrible. They think that God should be just what they think is very nice. In their estimation is very nice. So actually Nrsimhadeva is very nice. Krishna is very nice. As Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, or several times pointed out, that Prahlad, his father was killed in front of him. And Prahlad didn't protest. His father is being killed, and after it's all over, Prahlad says, thank you, that was good. So you may think, well, what kind of a son is that? How can you be so callous? Well, of course, Hiranyakashipu had tried to kill Prahlad in so many ways, which was why Nrsimhadeva appeared. But Prahlad was not on the platform of seeing his mundane relations as being his actual relation or well-wishers. He understood that in this world we get many fathers and mothers, birth after birth, and our real father and mother is Vishnu or Krishna. That's also very interesting if people say that, well, Krishna came after Rama, but even before Rama appeared in this world, Prahlad was thinking of Krishna. He's described in the Bhagavata as Krishna Brahma, which means he was as if haunted by Krishna. It means he was completely absorbed in Krishna. So just like someone is haunted by a ghost and they can't interact properly with the world because their consciousness is taken over by a ghost. So Prahlad, his consciousness was taken over by thoughts of Krishna. So he appeared to be unsociable, unable to interact with others properly. And Prahlad himself, when he had what appeared to Hiranyakashipu to be the audacity to instruct Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad told Hiranyakashipu, Matiya na Krishna, people like you, demons like you, they're never inclined toward Krishna. So Prahlad was worshipping Krishna. It's not that there was not knowledge of Krishna before Krishna's appearance, because Krishna is eternal. Krishna bhakti is eternal. So Prahlad was a great devotee of Krishna,
Nrisimhadev, the Adbhut, the wonderful. Adbhut is translated as something wonderful. It literally means something that has never been seen, heard of, or experienced before. It never happened before. So, Krishna consciousness is always fresh, and there's that feeling like it's always new. So, by Lila Shakti, by the arrangement of Krishna's internal pleasure potency, Lakshmi, she didn't recognize Nrisimha. No one had imagined there could be such a form. It was something completely new. It was outside the imagination of Hiranyakashipu or Brahma or anyone. It was completely unimagined that he could appear like this. Now another point, and there are many points, is that in Bhagavad Gita we find Krishna gives the characteristics of his devotees. He begins the description by saying, Advaita sarva bhutanam maitra karuna eva cha. So one should have no, a devotee has no inimical spirit toward him. He's without malice toward all living people. And he's a friend to all the beings, merciful. Now, certainly, Hiranyakashipu prided himself on being just the opposite. The demons, they actually take pleasure in being nasty. It's something among the demons, the measure of their achievement is how nasty they are. One demon shows himself to be nastier than another by doing something more horrible than another. So Hiranyakashipu was the nastiness personified. But the devotee is not supposed to be like that. You say, Prahlad, why should he be like that? Why should he be happy that Nrisimha killed Hiranyakashipu? If Prahlad is happy that Hiranyakashipu was killed, it might seem that he's in the same kind of consciousness that Hiranyakashipu was in, because he wanted to see Prahlad killed. That's materialistic consciousness. Mm-hmm. There's a boxing match, and one person tries to out-punch the other. You know, in a boxing match, you know, no one comes and says, well, actually, since this boxing match was fixed up, I've become a Buddhist, and so I'm not going to fight. Although, interesting, there's Thai boxing also. That's, and Thais are supposed to be Buddhists. So they have boxing competitions also. It's all theoretical. I mean, Buddhists fight as much as anyone else does, but theoretically, they're not supposed to. So, a devotee, he's supposed to be without any bad spirit toward anyone. There's a narration in the New Testament that to test Jesus, to try and put him in a difficult spot, someone asked him, well, what should you do if someone slaps you in the face? And Jesus said, if he slaps you on the cheek, and Jesus said, turn your other cheek so he can slap that also. And Jesus actually showed that. He accepted to be crucified, if you were to believe the stories in the New Testament. So, Prahlad, it might seem that he had a spirit of vengeance toward his father, that he was happy that his father was being killed. So how is that saint? Where's the saint in this?
shouldn't he have rushed in and said to Nrsimhadeva, no, no, let him off. Spare him, spare him. But Prahlad didn't. He stood by, and after it was all over, he added a garland, he had put a garland of flowers, to complement the garland that, because Hiranyakashipu, he wasn't going to offer a garland to Nrsimhadeva. So Nrsimha, to get a little service out of him, he took a garland from Hiranyakashipu, took his intestines out and garlanded himself with those intestines. So in that way, Hiranyakashipu got to do a little service, one way or the other. So it might not seem that Prahlad's mood was exactly right, tit for tat. But Prahlad, he was happy that Nrsimha killed Hiranyakashipu. Not in a spirit of vengeance, but he knew that, well, if Nrsimha has come to kill Hiranyakashipu, then that's his desire. We should cooperate with that desire. And anyway, Hiranyakashipu, he was causing so much disturbance in the world, and Krishna, he vows to come to redress the imbalance when demons cause disturbance, specifically by vinashayata dushkritam, by destroying the demons. This Hiranyakashipu is like a big headache in the lives of everyone. It stopped the yajnas, it stopped the brahmanas, it stopped the all auspicious things in the universe. So Prahlad, he understood that this is very auspicious for the whole universe, that Hiranyakashipu is killed. So it wasn't that Prahlad hated Hiranyakashipu. In fact, he always tried to benefit Hiranyakashipu by giving Hiranyakashipu proper instruction. But when the Supreme Lord decided to kill Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad did not try to intercede on Hiranyakashipu's behalf. Except it, this is the will of the Supreme Lord, so that friendly dealings between persons may again take place, so that godliness may be established within the universe. Hiranyakashipu should be killed. And he congratulated Nrsimhadeva on doing so. So there are just a few points out of the many points that could be made about this pastime of Sri Nrsimhadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in an unprecedented form of a half-man, half-lion, about his coming to this world that is being celebrated today, even though it took place many, many millions of years ago, still it's being celebrated. The demons are very strong in the world at this time. We should pray to Lord Nrsimhadeva to finish them off, so that there may be Krishna consciousness flourishing in the world. So, any question about this, please? Yes,
please. Have you explained about one of the boons that he had asked, Hiranyakashipu asked, which was...
Oh, 12 months. Yeah, I forgot to say that. Well, as I heard this, I didn't personally agree, I heard this, actually Nrsimha appeared in the Adhik Mas. So, the extra month. Although we celebrate it in this month. Madhusudan was. Vaishya. In the normal calendar. In the Gloria calendar. Madhusudan. Not in Purushottam. Because in Purushottam, the
If we had to celebrate in Purushottam, then we could only celebrate it once every 3 years. So I heard from a devotee who said that we had to do this in Purushottam. Anyway, whatever it is, he outsmarted Hiranyakashipu. That's for sure.
One more question I had was, you mentioned not to be killed by any living being created by Lord Brahma or not created by Lord Brahma. Then you gave an explanation from Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur. Could you please help us understand?
I don't fully understand it myself. I'm just saying what he said. My understanding is that he's adbhut. He's inconceivable, never seen of or heard of or imagined before. So he was not anything within the imagination of Hiranyakashipu when Hiranyakashipu was asking for those boons. So, Hare Krishna. What time is your program, Rohan, until?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
No, we have Arati.
I see. So, Arati and Kirtan. Jai Shri Nrishimade Bhavan Ki Jai. Bhakta Prabhar Shri Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Sarvajan Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Hare Krishna.